The Apostle Paul said to the church in Galatia in chapter 6 and in verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I just want for a few moments to think about our one big boast this morning. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that moves us and stirs us as on it Christ gives his life for us. I was in a shop recently and a girl came in the shop and she was wearing a t-shirt. And the t-shirt had the slogan on the front, "No job is complete until the selfie is posted." I think that's a 21st century take on something that's old as time itself, putting ourselves out there and up there as a boast. It leads to the kind of tweets or Facebooks that you get like this. "I don't want to brag or make anyone jealous, but I can still fit into the earrings I wore in high school." Now, of course, in my day, you know, boasting was not done on Facebook. It wasn't done with a selfie. It was often done with a story. Normally those "my dad is bigger than your dad" type stories. So one youngster might say to another, "Do you know that Suez Canal? My dad built that." Another youngster might say, "You know that Dead Sea? My dad killed that." And that's the kind of story that was out there. Because boasting, bragging, however you want to word it, is common to us all. Be it for an accomplishment that we've made, or maybe a relationship that we're in, or maybe a particular talent that we've got, we all boast about something. And whilst there's no virtue in being big-headed, as this very humble chap used to say, it's not bragging if you can back it up. Which is why, when I was a little bit younger, I had no store in this chap. He's no longer the leader of North Korea, his son is, but Kim Jong-il is quoted as saying that he knew the telephone numbers and computer codes of all his workers in North Korea. I mean, I struggle with my own passwords, don't you? You know, but even if you kind of doubt that, and I do, I discovered that such was his golfing prowess that on his very first round of golf, he scored 11 holes in one. I mean, this is a man that you can believe, isn't it? What a boaster. But here we are on Good Friday, and our boast is not in what we do. Our boast is not in what we have. Our boast is the boast of the Apostle Paul as we look at Christ on the cross and we say to ourselves, I hope, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that sense of boasting that comes through in what he tells us there, for me, was captured by a friend's greeting this Easter that said this: "I can't brag about my love for God because I fail him daily, but I can brag about his love for me because it never fails." And you know, when you think about it, the Apostle Paul had so much that he could have boasted about. He was the greatest preacher. He was the greatest teacher, the greatest missionary of the then known world, and possibly even to this day, the greatest apologist for the Christian faith, the greatest theologian, the greatest religious author in the world, who wrote at least half of the New Testament itself. And yet he tells us, that's not my boast, that's not my brag, that's not my pride. My pride is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not my achievement for him, but his achievement for me. I think that's a marvelous thing, don't you? Because there wasn't anybody else pretty much in Paul's day that was going around bragging about the cross. I mean, I know today we can put them around our necks and people admire them. But the cross was an ugly thing. It was a thing of execution. And Paul was going around bragging about the cross. The Romans considered it degrading. The Jews considered the cross being put under a curse. And the Greeks thought the cross was complete foolishness. And yet to Paul, the one big boast that he had was the cross, because it was God's first word and God's last word when it came to salvation. And it's God's word of salvation. And sometimes we don't want to hear what God wants to say to us, which is why I like this little cartoon here. You can have the sermon series, What God Has Said, or you can have the sermon series, What You Would Rather Hear. It's not my way of salvation that I offer. It's not the Baptist way of salvation that I offer. It's not even one way of many ways of salvation that I offer, says God, because in Jesus Christ there is only one way of salvation, and that is in Christ on the cross, and that needs to be our boast, because outside of Him we are all lost. Good Friday is our reminder that our need is not a lack of self-esteem that simply needs encouragement. It's not ignorance that needs an education. It's not poverty that needs welfare. It's not an environment that simply needs equal opportunity. No, our need is for salvation, because our problem is sin. And thank God we have the answer. And the answer, says Paul, is in the cross. And that's what I want to boast about. And it's interesting, as he puts it here, the boast is in the person on the cross. It's not the cross per se. You know, a bit of wood that's nailed together. It's who's on the cross that transforms it, that our boast is all about. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I was speaking at a meeting last night, and somebody said to me across the dinner table after I finished, you know, why is the cross of Jesus so important? I said, because of who is on the cross. Did you know that under Pilate, 30,000 people were crucified? Now, I'm going to name to you Jesus Christ as one of them. You name me one other. Could you? I know Jesus was crucified. I don't know one other out of the 29,999. Do you? Because it's Christ who makes the difference. It's Christ on the cross who buys us our salvation. Christ who comes to give us the gift of all that we need so that we can live before God in the way that we ought. And the cross is our boast because of the person that is on it, Jesus Himself. But it's also our boast because of the purpose accomplished on it. Jesus wasn't dying because He'd done anything wrong. He was dying for my wrongs and your wrongs that the law demanded punishment for. And the sinner who sins deserves death. And yet Christ came to fulfill God's purpose on that cross in taking our death upon Himself in order to bless us with life in exchange. Isn't that marvelous? You know, we know it. We understand it. We recognize it. We're here to celebrate it. And so often, we're reluctant to stand and make our boast about it. You know, it overcomes me sometimes that my God could come to me and to you and give Himself, and we can neglect to make our boast this beautiful cross, beautiful because of who's on it, and beautiful because of the purpose that is accomplished in Christ through it. You've all seen the film Saving Private Ryan. I've mentioned it here before. But I was watching a documentary just a few nights ago, and some of you may have seen it on the television, how one of the American Rangers who was there on Normandy on D-Day, when the mission to save Private Ryan first began, because he'd lost his three other brothers, as you will remember. And the Ranger was really cross that at the end of the story, when the character played by Tom Hanks gives his life to save Private Ryan, and then whispers to him in his dying breath, "Earn this," The ranger was really angry about that depiction of an American ranger, because for 200 years the American ranger has the motto, sua sponte, which means, I choose this. In other words, a ranger, when he gives his life, is something that he is choosing to do. Nobody's got to earn it. It is a gift. And this particular ranger was upset that he thought that somebody would have to earn the fact that another ranger had given their life. And on the cross, as God purposed it and planned it and in his foreknowledge brought it all about, he gives us the gift. Jesus said, I lay my life down of my own accord. He could have had the motto himself, I choose this. I volunteer for this, because what I'm doing for you is out of love, not duty. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Shouldn't that be our boast, that we know a God like that, that it would love us to that degree? Somebody looks at the bombings, somebody looks at the cancer, somebody looks at their difficult situation, they say, where is God's love? But the cross answers it. Because if you're looking there, you're looking in the wrong place. If you look to the cross, you cannot but recognize why this is our boast. Because the love of God is just pictured there for us in such a purposeful, magnificent way. And Paul, as he brings this little word to a conclusion, he says, may I never boast except in the cross through which I've been crucified to the world. And what we have here, says Paul, is the power given by the cross. Because in the cross, as Christ gives himself so that our sin might be forgiven, he also brings his enabling so that we can live in the fulfillment of everything that he wants us to live to achieve in him. Not through our own effort and strength, because all of that has been crucified to us in the cross, along with the very world itself. Because there's nothing in this world that can actually bring the satisfaction and fulfillment and supply that we need for our lives to live them as God intended for us to live them. That is there in the one who was overcome by our sin, and in overcoming our sin on the cross, empowers us to be overcomers too. There's nothing that this world can give us that will ever satisfy us, because we are eternal beings who can only find our fulfillment in the eternal one. Isn't it a marvelous thing? You know, should we not be bragging about that? I think it's a great thing. And you know, Paul says, this is my boast. And I think sometimes today we can feel almost embarrassed to say this is our boast. But when we look at who Christ is, when we look at what Christ has done, and when we think about all that is possible because of the one who did it and has worked it for us, who wouldn't want to say with Paul this morning, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us a boast, not in our goodness, but in yours, not in our efforts, but your achievement. And Lord, we want to say to you this morning, as we surrender ourselves to you and prepared, as it were, Lord, to be crucified to all that robs us of your best for us, as we say, Lord, your desire is now our desire. Your will is now my will. Your way is now my way. Lord, we want to come into the day-to-day experience of living fulfilled in you. Even though at times it's going to hurt, because you took up a cross and you died. Even though we're going to suffer, even though we're going to be put down, even though there are going to be those who have no understanding of what we're trying to share, nonetheless we love, nonetheless we help, because we're crucified to the ways of this world and we're alive to your purposes for us. So Lord, help us to live in such a way that people can see that you and the cross are our boast, and that our pride is in you, that the measure of who we are is in the measure of what you've done. So touch us afresh. Forgive us that we can even dare to think that we can ever be the same in light of the cross. Forgive us that we so often tend to measure your love by what's going on in our life, instead of measuring our life and what's going on in it by your love poured out to us on that cross. Thank you that you, in love, who gave everything that was your best, will never hold back anything from us that you know that we need, and that will fulfill your purpose and your plan for the lives that we have. Help us and encourage us in this Good Friday, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.